Welcome to episode 1028 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Imagine you're attending the most awe-inspiring event you could think of. A massive gathering with thousands of voices united in perfect harmony, lights cascading across the scene, and a feeling so powerful that it resonates deep within your soul. Now imagine that the central figure in this gathering is not a celebrity, politician, or famous speaker, but Jesus Christ himself. He's there not to receive a temporary applause, but the eternal praise and worship of his redeemed people. Revelation invites us into a similar scene, one where worship isn't just a part of the background, but the core of everything. It's not just an act of singing or praying, it's a declaration of allegiance, a choice to honor our Creator in a world full of distractions. The book of Revelation is a compelling message about the end times, full of symbolism, prophecy, and hope. But central to all of these is the theme of worship, one that resounds through every vision, chapter, and command from Jesus. But what does worship really mean in the book of Revelation? Is it just about following the right rituals? Or is it something deeper, something that can shape every aspect of our lives? Today, as we dive into Revelation, we'll explore how this last book of the Bible calls us to a worship that challenges, empowers, and defines us as followers of Jesus, even in the face of Earth's final trials. Revelation begins its discussion on worship with a clear call to acknowledge God as the creator of everything. In Revelation 4 verse 11, we read a powerful moment of worship. "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will, they were created and have their being." 24 elders fall down before God's throne, casting their crowns and proclaiming his worthiness. The identity of these 24 elders has been a subject of much debate among theologians, and while the Bible doesn't explicitly define who they are, several interpretations have emerged. They are depicted as seated on thrones around the throne of God, dressed in white and wearing golden crowns, which indicates authority, purity, and victory. The worship in this scene draws attention to God as the source of life, the one deserving of devotion and reverence because he made everything in existence. Sabbath worship is a weekly reminder of God's role as creator. The Sabbath itself, rooted in creation, serves as a memorial of God's creative power and his rest on the seventh day. When we observe the Sabbath, we affirm our loyalty to God as the creator, echoing the worship in Revelation 4. By recognizing the Sabbath, we stand apart from worldly systems that have forgotten or neglected God's original creation mandate. As Revelation progresses, the theme of worshiping the Creator is contrasted with false worship. In Revelation 14 verse 7, we encounter a direct appeal to humanity in the first angel's message. "Fear God, and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and springs of water." This is a call to return to true worship and recognize God's authority over the universe. The phrase, "who made heaven and earth," is a direct reference to the Sabbath commandment. True worship in Revelation is inseparably linked to remembering God as creator, and the Sabbath is a pivotal part of this acknowledgement. In Revelation, worship is also at the heart of the cosmic conflict between Christ and Satan. We see this conflict unfold as Satan attempts to deceive humanity into worshiping him rather than God. In Revelation 13, the beast and its image rise up as counterfeit powers demanding worship from all people on earth. The world is warned that all who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Here, Revelation contrasts those who worship the beast with those who remain loyal to Christ. This false worship promoted by the beast and the dragon aims to divert attention and allegiance away from God. Satan knows that worship shapes our identity, loyalty, and purpose, so he deceives many into giving their allegiance to a counterfeit power. In contrast, those who refuse the mark of the beast and maintain their allegiance to God are described in Revelation 14, verse 12, as those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. True worship requires faithfulness, even in the face of persecution and deception. This battle over worship has practical implications, especially concerning the Sabbath. In the end times, when the beast demands allegiance, Sabbath observance serves as a mark of loyalty to the Creator and a rejection of man-made religious systems. Our choice of when and how we worship becomes an expression of our deepest convictions and identity as followers of Christ. Revelation's message of worship is intertwined with the proclamation of the everlasting gospel. The three angels' messages of Revelation 14 present worship as not only a spiritual practice, but a proclamation of God's truth to the world. The first angel's message, calling people to worship the Creator, is followed by the warning of the second angel about Babylon's fall, and the third angel's warning against worshiping the beast and its image. These messages reveal a sequence where true worship is contrasted with false worship, and the entire world is called to make a choice. This call to worship, embedded in the gospel message, reminds us that worship is not merely ritual, but an acknowledgement of God's sovereignty and authority over every aspect of life. Worshiping God in spirit and truth means recognizing His ways are higher than ours, and His commandments reflect His love and holiness. As Christians, we understand that our mission to spread the gospel includes proclaiming this message of true worship to the world. We are called to share the hope of the everlasting gospel and the importance of worshiping God in the way He has asked us to. In doing so, we invite others to join in a worship that aligns with God's character and plan, a worship that prepares hearts for the soon return of Jesus. Throughout Revelation, scenes of heavenly worship offer glimpses into the worship that will take place in eternity. In Revelation 7, verses 9 to 10, a great multitude from every nation, tribe, people, and language stand before the throne of God proclaiming, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." This vision is one of unity, joy, and praise, a foretaste of what awaits those who choose to worship God in this life. Heavenly worship scenes show the redeemed, united with angels, worshiping God with full hearts and complete devotion. Sabbath worship is a weekly reminder of this eternal worship. Every Sabbath, we join with believers around the world, participating in a taste of the worship we will experience in the New Jerusalem. The Sabbath points us forward to the time when sin and sorrow are no more, and we will dwell in God's presence eternally. Moreover, the hope of worshiping together in heaven strengthens us as we face trials in this world, knowing that we will one day stand with the faithful before God's throne, praising His name and rejoicing in salvation, gives us courage and endurance. It reminds us that every act of worship now is a preparation for the eternal worship that awaits. In Revelation, worship is ultimately about a relationship with Jesus. The Lamb who was slain, Jesus Christ, is central to every scene of worship, and He is the one who brings us into the right relationship with God. In Revelation 5, when Jesus is depicted as the Lamb, He is worthy of worship because He gave His life to redeem humanity. Every song of praise in heaven centers on this sacrifice, recognizing that our worship is only possible through the grace and love of Jesus. Christians should hold Jesus' sacrifice as the foundation of true worship. We worship God not out of duty, but as a response to His great love, revealed in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. Our worship is a way to express gratitude for the salvation He has offered, to draw near to Him, and to find strength and guidance in His presence. Knowing that Jesus walks with us as our High Priest, interceding for us, fills us with a sense of awe and devotion. Worship in Revelation reminds us that above all, our relationship with Jesus defines us as Christians. As we worship Him, we grow in understanding His character, and His love transforms us. Through worship, we prepare our hearts to meet Him face to face when He returns. Revelation presents worship as a call to remain faithful to God in a world full of deception, idolatry, and distraction. True worship, grounded in our relationship with Jesus, reflects loyalty to the Creator and acknowledges His authority over our lives. In a time when the battle for allegiance grows stronger, worship reminds us of our identity as God's people and our place in His eternal kingdom. As Christians, we are invited to worship God with all our hearts, holding fast to His commandments, proclaiming His message, and preparing ourselves for the day when worship will no longer be marred by sin or deception. Every Sabbath, every prayer, and every song of praise brings us closer to that eternal day of worship, when we will stand before God's throne and join the heavenly choir in singing, "Worthy is the Lamb." Until then, may we live lives of worship, trusting in Jesus' promise to return and lead us to His glorious kingdom. Father, we praise You for the gift of Jesus and the hope of eternal worship with You in Your kingdom. Help us to remain faithful, drawing closer to You in spirit and truth, so that our worship here reflects the glory of heaven. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the fullest, today.